Why is standing so important for people who can't move their legs? Maybe some of you didn't even know that was possible. Some of you may not even thought that this could and should be something to consider for people with spinal cord injuries. My name is Susan Wood, and in this episode, I talk to Colby.
Well, my name is Colby Van Leeuwen, so I'm a physiotherapist by trade. I've been working with Neuromoves for almost 3 years now, but I've been a physio for just over 10 years. Most of my career has been in neuro, but I've also dabbled in some aged care therapy as well, because there's quite a lot of crossover in those two fields.
And Alicia.
My name is Alicia Payne. I am an exercise physiologist. I have been working with Neuromoves for about 2 years. Originally was in Adelaide, but have recently moved to Melbourne to work for the Melbourne team. And yeah, that's me.
And we go through exactly why it's so important, the technology and what the research says about standing. If you'd like more information about what we're about to discuss in this episode, visit our resource hub at scia.org.au/resource-hub. You'll find articles, fact sheets, videos, podcasts to help empower you to make more informed choices about your disability. Just check the show notes for more details. Okay, so we're going to go right into it. So, why is standing so important? Who wants to start?
One of the main reasons that we really like to recommend standing, and especially standing pretty much as soon as possible, is because of bone strength. Bones work by remodeling themselves based on sort of the load that they're put under. So the more and more that you sort of are able to load up your bones and put some weight through your legs, the more they're sort of going to be able to remodel and build up some strength. Long periods of time without sort of loading up those bones will start sort of leaning towards that osteoporosis and thinning of the bones as soon as you can, trying to get up onto those legs and trying to put some weight through to sort of kick off that that process of the bone remodeling.
The latest guidelines are sort of saying right after you've had your injury, you're going to go through your inpatient hospital process, but then you're recommended to try and get some scans done to look at how thick your bones are after 6 months within injury. So this is going to happen in the latest physiotherapy guideline. Then they're going to recommend afterwards you get a re-scan of your bone density or your bone thickness every 2 years. So this is for individuals with a spinal cord injury. That's just going to be the best practice. I reckon the next thing that's really important about standing is just trying to keep your skin safe. It's so important to try and prevent any skin issues. They can be a real, real hassle for anyone with a spinal cord injury or anyone that doesn't have sensation to realize that they shouldn't be putting pressure through there. The problem with any skin breakdown as well, so if it's sort of happening where you sit on it every day, you have to avoid sitting on it for a long period of time. And lying face down can get very, very boring very, very quickly, especially if you're supposed to do it for a couple of months on end, which is what can happen with some of these advanced pressure injuries.
In a seated position, like in a wheelchair, lots of your muscles and joints are sort of in that one position for a long period of time. Getting up and standing will really help to stretch out lots of different sort of muscles. It'll get through to your hip flexors. You know, stretch out through your hips, your knees and your ankles all at once. Contractures in these joints, which is sort of a sustained shortening of the muscle, can increase the risk of developing pressure areas and other sort of issues with that.
There's actually some research that says that if you get contractures in your ankles, hips or knees, you're at an increased chance of pressure areas by up to 70%. Preventing that can prevent so many complications. Some other benefits I would say are bladder and bowel improvements. I'm not going to go into this too much, but basically get gravity working on your side. Gravity works against us too often. It pulls us down, but it's a really, really helpful to try and get it. You're getting everything moving in that right downwards direction. So basically everyone's muscles will have a little bit of resting electricity in them. So we call this tone. So this sort of protects the joints from getting too floppy and getting damaged because they're so floppy. So you might have seen someone with a dislocated shoulder or something like that. All the muscles have turned off, the joints getting pulled and stretched or something like that, and you can end up with a bad injury. So the tone sort of protects against that. Now, after you get damage to the brain or the spinal cord injury, you can get an increase in tone. So you actually get an increase in this resting electricity in those muscles. Spasticity is a little bit different to this. So it really works as a reflex. So as you stretch a muscle, you end up hitting these areas of tone and increasing the tone through that muscle when you're stretching it to that certain position. And it depends on how quickly you're stretching it. So the faster you stretch, the more increase that spasticity response will be. So this can be a huge, huge problem for people because it can be really painful, but it can also reduce your ability to move around. So if you're really, I've seen people that are pushing themselves along in wheelchairs, they go over a bump and then their leg might kick out, they lose all their stability. Same with walking, you can catch your feet on things a lot more because it becomes really difficult to try and lift your toes up because you're fighting against that spasticity whenever you're putting that muscle on stretch. So it can be really, really important to try and stand regularly to try and get rid of that risk.
So I have two questions. So you've talked about people who've acquired a spinal cord injury and how it's best to start standing as soon as possible. And, oh, I guess it's a two-parter question then. And then we're also talking about, let's just say people have had spinal cord injuries for their entire lives and may not have that same, I guess, tone and spasticity of somebody who has had a spinal cord injury later on in life. Does any of the things that you've talked about, do they change? If I were to come in there after, I don't know, 20 years of having an SCI, but I've had it as a child, would you kind of also have these same kind of results, or would they change depending on the length, I guess?
Yeah, look, I think they definitely change. Spasticity generally improves over time. Your body kind of gets used to the damage that it's got and it will stabilize to some extent. But a lot of people require lifelong medication to control the spasticity. And with every medication, you have a whole list of side effects that medication is going to cause. And spasticity medication is definitely no exception. Like, it can cause drowsiness, it can cause muscle weakness. It's just a horrible list of stuff. So any natural way to avoid those medications, definitely sign up to that. Luckily, with these scans, we can have a very, very clear indication of who's going to be suitable and who's going to be more at risk. So we can try and gradually improve that. So it's the technology needs to be used. It's super smart. So we need to be smart and follow it.
What else can somebody do if they don't have access to assisted standing around the house or wherever, get all these benefits?
Yeah, look, this is a really, really tough one. So for those that don't have access to, say, a therapist or equipment, it's the number one goal is to try and get some equipment. Like, there's always a way to get some equipment. Look, I've treated people that are pretty rural before. You can actually train someone to use a standing frame via telehealth. There's a few different options to do that as well. So, for example, you could get someone to come to a bigger city. So one of your local, larger built-up cities to go to a place to do a bunch of different trials. So you could tee up quite a few different equipment items to come all to the one place at once, and then you can trial maybe four or five different things. The therapist that saw you then can go, oh, okay, I recommend this for this reason. You can have that conversation with them, and then they can be recommended through any funding bodies that might be suitable. When that got delivered to your house after it has been approved, then you could have some telehealth sessions to actually learn how to use it a little bit more safely under the supervision of, say, some carers or family members. You don't actually need to be going somewhere to do all that standing. It really does involve the equipment that we've got. That's the best way to sort of go about it, I would say. Yeah, just making the most of what's available and just getting those professionals to help you make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been involved as well with some of these sort of situations over telehealth, and, you know, it can actually work really well for people, especially, like you were saying, Colby, in those like really rural areas, and, you know, can't just be traveling hours and hours to get to a clinic or a therapist, or, you know, other way around, you can't really be, you know, paying someone heaps and heaps of travel time to come to you. So, you know, lots of the standing frames available are actually very, very safe to use.
So let's talk about the different methods of standing. What ways can people start load bearing?
I would say it all sort of starts with what we call a tilt table. So you sort of imagine someone that's pretty newly injured. They're in the hospital system. You have to first make sure that person is medically stable. So standing isn't the biggest priority to start off with. You sort of build up towards that. relatively soon in, though, the benefits of standing, they're so clear that people in the inpatient hospital community will try and get you standing as soon as it's medically safe to do so. So tilt table is usually the place to start. And this is an awesome one because it does what it says in the name. It is a table that you lie on, you can strap yourself into, and it slowly tilts up. The beauty is it measures the angle, so you can wait for any maybe blood pressure drops, which can be a real big thing, especially early on after an injury. So then you can figure out what angle that is, and then you can come back down, and the blood pressure almost always stabilizes straight away as soon as you start coming. So then you can start to progress that angle, you can progress the time until you're into that full standing position, which can be pretty quick as well.
Another one that we can use is like a body weight support system. So there are two main types of this. There's a standalone unit or another one that uses a bit of a ceiling track. So essentially they both work the same, and they sort of are using a harness that takes your body weight or a percentage of your body weight. It's fairly advanced equipment though, so you often need to go to a specialized clinic.
Yeah, there's a lot more simple options out there as well. So you start to think back to when you think of therapy, you really think of some frames. So you can get some simple frames that will help you into standing. So you've got what we call a forearm support frame. So basically you're taking your weight through your forearms and your elbows. Then you can go a little bit less supportive into like a wheeled walker. And then you can use something like crutches or walking sticks as well. People with neuro experience, we've all done this for a lot of people really early on with quite high level injuries and minimal muscular control. You can really still get you into that standing position nice and early as long as we've set up really well. The other main one would be a standing wheelchair. So it's sort of like a standing frame on wheels, I suppose. It really depends on what sort of standing wheelchair you're going to get. Well, I would say sometimes people get a standing wheelchair and it's their regular wheelchair as well. Often though, your standing wheelchair is a standalone unit that you use just for standing, and then you've got your day-to-day wheelchair. But basically, it is just a standing frame on wheels, and you can get into it just like you would with a standing frame, strap yourself in, and then you can bring yourself into that upright position. I always tell people, you can move around when it's sitting. Do not move around when it's up. You're way too tippy when you're that high. Another one that's probably not talked about very often, especially here in Australia, but I always love to mention it because I'm a big advocate for these things. So they're actually powered exoskeletons. I like to just call them robot legs because it gets the message across a little bit easier. So basically a powered suit that you can get in. You strap your feet, knees and trunk into, and then it will stand up and it can also do some walking. But you're getting those benefits of standing in the absence of needing any actual muscular control. And there's a few of them that are around in Australia. It just hasn't taken off like it has probably over in Europe and in the US. But definitely, I think it's one to watch this space in the future, because I think it is something that's going to become a bigger thing in Australia.
Yeah, because I guess the next question after this is, this all sounds great. How much is it?
Yeah, they're expensive. It depends. The models are varying though. So look, I suppose you think of the oldest model that's around, that's probably the most successful, is the ReWalk.
Mm.
And like you're looking at maybe $170,000 for one of those. But there's new models coming out all the time. Like I'm pretty sure there's a few that have come out of Japan and they're halving that. They're just under $100,000.
When people think about standing and in conjunction with spinal cord injury, no matter what stage of their SCI they have or injury or condition, some people might think that the standing will ultimately lead to walking, or the standing will lead to other things that may or may not happen. So when we're talking about expectations and prognosis, what should people think about when it comes to standing?
I think prognosis can be, you know, a pretty scary word, and I think it's definitely one of those tricky things. But I think the main thing is just like thinking of all the benefits that you're going to get, whether it's, you know, like we were discussing with your blood pressure or your bone density or your skin or your bladder bowel. I think it's just really important to note all of the other things that are going to be benefited from that standing.
So you talk about hours and standing and hours and standing, but what is the actual amount of hours somebody should be standing for, or minutes or seconds or whatever? Does this depend on the level of SCI? Does it depend on age? Does it depend on other health factors?
This is a really interesting one. The research has changed so much, even in the last 10 years since I've been a physio. But generally, the old guidelines would say you need to stand for 30 minutes five times a week. It depends what your goal is, though. So nowadays, if you want to improve your bone density, you need to do a lot more standing than that. So pretty much minimum of 60 minutes, minimum of 6 days a week. So you're looking at being in that standing position, fully load-bearing for that full 60 minutes at least. Some research articles go as high as 120 minutes. So you're looking at 2 hours, six times per week. And that is specifically for your bone density, to make your bones stronger. But if you're thinking of all the other benefits, look, you can definitely get all those other benefits from a smaller amount that might fit into your schedule a little bit more. So 30 minutes, five times a week.
Yeah, I guess this is where like you wouldn't have a problem with 2 hours if you were standing while watching a TV show or a movie because you're not even thinking about it.
Yeah. Or, you know, setting it up in front of the computer, doing some work, you know, just making it really functional and one of those things where, you know, it's something that you could just, you know, if it's something you'd normally do sitting, just see if you can, you know, facilitate it so that you can just do it standing. And then
you did talk about skin integrity, and I guess this is something that people don't really think about, or maybe they do think about, but how important skin integrity is for somebody who is constantly sitting down all the time.
The big risk with sitting in all the time is you really need a very, very supportive, well thought out wheelchair and cushion. And it just, you ruin your flexibility. So basically you have to be around this cushion because it's been fitted for you. When you're sitting down, you've got two little bones that will sort of poke out down into the seat. So your ischial tuberosity that we call them. Basically you're leading right all of your weight down into these two bony areas. There's not so much tissue there and all of that pressure without having that sensation of, oh, say my bum's going numb. You don't have that sensation. You're not getting that message. So you're just going through to that pushing through that period where you're actually cutting off the blood flow to those areas, and you get like a little blister or something. And that's the start of your pressure area from just being in that same position. There's other methods to try and help with this. So you can do pressure relieving positioning. But once again, there's so many different benefits of a standing program, and this is one of them. You take all of that pressure off of that exact area, and you're putting pressure on your feet and your bones, exactly where that pressure has sort of evolved to go. So you're kind of just using that natural position.
Can we also talk about prolonged sitting and the effects of prolonged sitting on the spine and maybe the shape of the spine and how standing can, or just standing anyway, can just kind of, I guess, not realign the spine, but stop it from, I guess, a massive curve, for example?
Well, I guess when you're in that standing position, you sort of have gravity acting on your bones, acting on your muscles. You're getting sort of that gravitational pull. So lots of the time, especially when you see those injuries happening, to, you know, for a young kid, for example, who's then going to grow up in that seated position, not sort of getting that gravitational effect can sort of lead to that scoliosis and the sort of the S curve in your spine. And
yeah, look, I think one thing I tell people all the time is your head is much heavier than you think it is. You're holding a 10 kilo weight in a sitting position out in front of your body. Do you reckon you can do that in normal? If you had a 10 kilo weight and you're holding that a few centimeters out in front of your body, how long could you do that for? You can't, you shouldn't have to do that all day, every day. It's too much weight. So you think that 10 kilo weight starts to pull everything forwards. Even the position of your arms can't really go by your side if you're in a sitting position. They end up out in front of you. Arms don't seem that heavy, but when you combine your head and both arms, you've got a significant weight pulling you forwards. So your spine is slowly coming forwards with you and it will start to adjust. So as we said before, your bones remodel, they reshape depending on the forces that you put on them. If you're putting all those forces forwards, your bones are going to get stronger in that forwards position and they won't go backwards anymore. So you really need to get that, like Alicia was saying, you really need to get gravity on your side once again. and get up. So gravity's going exactly where we evolved to take gravity, straight down the line of the spine.
Yeah, because I think you'd be surprised at how quickly your body tries to adapt and find the easiest and best positions. And just like Colby said, yeah, you know, with that weight that's sitting forward, your body will just curve forward because that's what's going to be most efficient and most helpful. And so it's probably better to try and get in those standing positions to try and reverse some of those things from happening and trying to really get the body to get back into that alignment.
Now I'm all self-conscious about my neck because I guess, you know, we're talking about it like intervention at an early age for a child who has a spinal cord injury or spina bifida or whatever, who is in a wheelchair a lot of the time, how important that is. Equally important because of an aging population and SCI and aging. I don't know if you guys want to talk to maybe what can happen or not just the benefit, but also what might happen if you don't really consciously think about it.
Well, I guess in terms of bone density, obviously that is one of the things that does decline with age. You're over 65 and those sort of postmenopausal women are already at that sort of heightened risk of getting osteoporosis. And so I guess, you know, those sort of age groups that are sort of combined with that spinal cord injury are just at even a higher risk again to sort of get that osteoporosis and the weakening of the bone. So that's definitely an area that can be targeted by the standing in the aging population.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think age is more, you've just had more time for things to accumulate. Like age is just a number, but it's also, time is also a number, and you've had more time to experience all of those little injuries or all of that little bits of deterioration. So I think it just all starts to accumulate. So really important that you try and mitigate all of those effects by trying to get into a regular program that are going to control that, especially with, say, you lose the ability to stand. Really important to make sure you try and get your body into that natural position and you do what you can to try and keep that that alignment going.
So where to from here? I mean, what is the future of standing for people who, I mean, we did talk a bit about how things are readily available via the NDIS and third-party insurance and stuff like that. But, I mean, is there anything else that's happening for people to be able to access standing better? That sounds weird, but probably accurate.
Yeah, it's definitely accurate. Look, there is some pretty recent research out regarding potential benefits from trying to get muscles activated. So using electrical stimulation in combination with standing positions. So actual pulling of those muscles on the outer coating of the bones can help to strengthen those bones as well. So if your standing goal, say, was to improve the density of your bones and make your bones stronger, then maybe combining some of these together would be a really great place to go. So I know over in America, they're having a few trials where they're trying to combine, say, those exoskeletons with some electrical stimulation. So you're getting the muscles to help you stand, and they're working at that time when they should be working as well. So they're actually pulling on the bones, strengthening the bones, and then you're also getting into a standing position. Then that machine can use those muscles to keep you in that standing position. Can also do some walking functions as well. And you're all the while you're in that that upright position, loaded and moving around. So I think there's definitely some scope for that in the future. I can see that sort of taking off a little bit further.
You've been listening to Have the Nerve, a podcast by Spinal Cord Injuries Australia. Once again, if you want to know more about what we've talked about, please visit our resource hub linked in the show notes of this podcast. This episode has been written, produced and edited by Susan Wood, that's me, and logo art by Kobe Ann Moore. SCIA's NeuroMoves is a specialized exercise service for people with neurological conditions and physical disabilities, such as spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, and motor neurone disease. NeuroMoves is located across Australia, and if you'd like more information, please visit scia.org.au. If you like this podcast, feel free to give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find SCIA on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And if you really feel warm and fuzzy, can you please tell like 2 people about our podcast? We'll really appreciate it. I will certainly appreciate it. Thank you for listening.